Okay. So, if you remember last week, we talked about the Badim of the Aron, you know, what exactly their purpose is when you're carrying them and when you're not carrying them, etc. Davening went late, we're taking 5 minutes, your father's starting in like 5 minutes. After that, one of my friends who listens to many of our shiurim and is one of those people, you know, one of those people I'm scared when he listens to the shiur, you know, whatever. So he sent me a 40-page article where he said, well, maybe there's another answer here, which is that at some level, maybe the Aron itself is a temporary mitzvah. Where would you get the notion of what would that even mean? So I will not go through the entire summary of the 40-page article, but I'll give you some highlights of it. So there's an article written by David Henschka, where he notes that basically, he has a lot of problems with the Aron, but among them, and this is maybe the most striking one, is that the Gemara tells us, and it seems to be totally fine with the notion, that in Bayit Sheni, they hid the Aron. Right? They hid the Aron. They buried it somewhere. And that's just weird. Right? Meaning, even if you say that it's in danger, so maybe right before Korban HaBayit, but it was hidden by Yoshiyahu. Right? Like, you're talking, right? And it was hidden in WHO, and then it wasn't there at all by Cheney. Thank you. But if that's the case, like, I don't understand. Like, how does that even make sense, right? If it's a mitzvah to have the Aron there, so then how could you do that, right? Like, that's a long time to be worried. And, I get, like, extenuating circumstances, but that's, like, a little bit ridiculous. Yeah? No. Now there's a lot of other problems, which is the fact that sometimes the Aron is described as having gold, and sometimes it isn't as having gold, so there seems to be a contradiction in terms of what the Aron is at all. So his basic thesis is that maybe the Aron itself has two roles. It has a pragmatic role, which is to hold the Luchot, and it has a different role in the Mishkan, which is that it's the place above which God meets with Moshe. Right, as you have in this week's parasha, Olata Mizor Dechem Petach Hol Moed, Lefnei Adonai Asher Iva'ed Lechem Shama Ledaber Elecha Sham. This emphasis that you have consistently throughout the description of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, not the Mikdash, that God meets Mibein Shnei Akruvim, and the like. And therefore, he argues that maybe, radically, there is no mitzvah l'dorot to have an Aron. Like, if you happen to have the Luchot, then you keep them in the Aron. But as a positive mitzvah to have an Aron, that is not a mitzvah l'dorot. That was a mitzvah only in the Mishkan, where God spoke to the Jews through Moshe, between the Kruvim, above the Aron. But in the world of the Mikdash, that's not the way God communicates. God is present amongst the Jewish people. God is present in the Mikdash, in the Makom HaMikdash, right? But God is not... Okay. So I'll give you... This is why we had to do it short, but I'll give you one of his proofs from the Rambam, right? Is if you look at the Mitzvah HaEsrim, in terms of building the Beit HaBachira, this is how the Rambam writes it. HaMitzvah HaEsrim Hu Shizivanu Livnot Beit Avuda. You should build the Beit Avuda, Bo Yehakrava, Bahavara Eish, Tamid, Ve'lav Yalach, Alicha, Ve'aliyah L'Regel, etc. There's a mitzvah to build the Beit HaBachira. And then, the Rambam, after going through all of it, he says, U'kvar Be'arnu Shezeh HaKlal Hu Kolel Chalakim. It includes parts of it, different kelim, that are part of the building of Mishkan. What does he give? HaMenorah, Shulchan V'Mizbech V'Zulatam. Right? And this is a pattern in the Rambam. He never mentions the Aron. Every time he talks about the mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah, right? The Aron isn't there. So... No, but you would think, right? The Torah tells you how to build it, right? It should be included in the Kelim. right? But it isn't. And therefore, right, his overarching thesis is that maybe the Aron, as a fundamental part of the Beit Hashem, is only true in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, where it's a place where God meets between the Aron, between the Kruvim and the like. But maybe it isn't a mitzvah l'doron at all. And that's why it's legitimate in the Beit HaMikdash cannot have it. Meaning it has a practical role to protect the Luchot. But if, for whatever reason, you don't want to do that, you want to protect the Luchot, that's fine. Right? It's quite a radical thesis. Like I said, he develops it at 40 pages. But it's worth thinking about that possibility and thinking about what that would tell you about, as much as we think the Mishkan and the Mikdash are the same thing, once you have this sort of insight in the back of your mind, you realize how many times in the Parsha, when it comes to Mishkan, you have this emphasis of Iva'edlecham Shama, that the centrality is the place where God meets with Moshe and talks with Moshe, where in the Mikdash, that's not it. It's a makom. It's God's place, right? But this communicative function seems to not be there. And again, he develops it at length, but I think the basic insight that there seems to be a difference between the purpose of Mikdash and Mishkan, the way in which God's expressed his presence, that seems to be true, and it seems to explain a lot of things. Okay. Chaim Moser wants to